All right, I'm going to call to order the City Council work session for Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. Topics of discussion, number one, receive recommendation from Charter Commission to amend chapters 2, 3, and 7 of this charter.
Thank you, Mayor. You recall many months ago we brought forward some charter recommendations for changes to the charter. And at that time, council supported some, didn't support others, and said, understand the idea of one item, but we think it needs a little bit of language work. Well, we went back to the charter to finish up a couple amendments that they had tabled on their own, as well as bring back the kind of one that received some support from council, but needed a little bit of work. So what we have is this ordinance is recommended by the charter to adopt, and it addresses those remaining three items. The first one, under vacancies, we talked about adding respective ward. Ultimately, you guys are, at least four of the seven members are elected to cover wards. And we talked about there are times where a temporary non-residence in the ward may be needed. You know, best example is an unforeseen emergency circumstance. So we really built in language that calls that out. I'm saying that, you know, if you move outside of your respective ward, that would be, among other reasons, would be grounds to vacate your council seat. And then there's the exception of temporary non-residence of a council member in their ward may be permitted due to unforeseen emergency circumstances, so long as the intent is to move back into that ward permanently. We did say within a six-month period. Felt like generally, you know, should be able to know what is happening in that time frame. And then there's the additional caveat that council may deem it necessary to allow for additional time depending on the severity of the cause for that temporary residency outside of the ward. You know, really at the end of the day, it's up to the other council members to deem it vacant or not. So I think just everyone being adults, you'll be able to have conversations on, all right, why aren't you living in the ward? What's going on? And be able to make that judgment call. Questions on that? Do we feel like that kind of meets the discussion from the last time?
Yep.
Okay. The next one, the charter had some discussion on it. There was some confusion on special meetings versus emergency meetings versus just outright deeming local emergencies. So we broke what previously was one paragraph into four separate sections. You know, we are identifying that we're going to meet at least once per month as designated. You know, we meet twice a month, and historically we've generally canceled the last meeting in December. For special meetings, we just call out that, and this didn't change, but the mayor or any three members of the council may call a special meeting. We still have to meet statutory requirements on special meeting notices, 3 days. And then say a local emergency may be declared under the authority granted in state statute. That could be any number of reasons, but kind of the best example is that natural disaster. You know, a tornado rips through town and we need to meet very quickly and start addressing how to start the cleanup efforts. And then the 3.1.4 is really just a carryover from previous language, but what it's ultimately saying is that citizens have a right to address the council during reasonable times during public meetings. Any questions on that?
Dan?
Forgive me for that. I'm getting slowed here. Who does it say is the authority to call the special or emergency meetings, I mean?
It says that a special meeting.
The emergency ones. And again, I just go back to our COVID time. Like, is it going to just be an individual? Like, the mayor can say that, or does it have to be a council vote?
So the mayor, by statute, can declare an emergency, but that has a set period of time. I believe it's 3 days. And then if it's extended, it takes council action beyond that.
What are you doing?
I don't blame you.
The previous language, the thing that needed to be updated was the notice requirements for special meetings. It said 24 hours, we actually needed to.
Okay.
And then the last recommended change is under the budget section. It used to say that the budget would be adopted at the next regularly scheduled council meeting following the mandated public hearings. Did a super minor language change of just saying that the budget would have to be adopted after the mandatory public hearings. Historically, we have not followed the charter requirement, and we've adopted it largely the same meeting as we've held the truth and taxation hearing. State law just says that you have to do it after that hearing occurs. The reality is if a bunch of residents show up and say, hey, we feel this way, that way, what have you, council doesn't have to adopt it following that meeting. The true requirement is to adopt it soon enough in December so we can get it certified to the county.
Okay. Questions on that?
No. All right. So the next steps would be to bring it forward through the regular council meetings, hold a public hearing. We'll have the published notice of the public hearing for August 22nd, and then it'll go in the paper that day, and then we'll have the introduction scheduled for September 9th meeting with final adoption or consideration on September 23rd, and then we'll have to do a 90-day publication requirement. That's just statutory law for charter amendments.
Chris?
We discussed a little bit. I guess I just want to look for clarity to know. Does it just have to be unanimous of the members that are there, or does it have to be 7 votes?
Our interpretation was it's unanimous of all members, so all 7.
So that's why a couple different times we had to move it. To get
and there's a window of time after the public hearing, so...
So
everyone
both
plan on being here.
Both unanimous and all 7 members.
That's for both readings.
That's
for the introduction and the adoption.
Fritz, I think the introduction can be a smaller portion.
Right, it can be. In fact, we have that happen.
Yeah, it's the final.
So everybody needs to be here on September 23rd.
Yep.
Okay. All right, if there's any perceived scheduling conflicts for September 23rd, just let staff know as soon as possible so we can move that date.
Well, and the remote attendance laws were very, very much loosened, so anything planned to attend remotely.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
That's it for the charter amendment.
This looks good to move forward then. Seeing no dissent, I will say there is consensus right to move forward with this. All right. On to item number 2, continued review of preliminary 2026 general fund budget/levy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm going to go over the handouts that I just gave you just as a really quick brief summary, just so you know what's before you. So the first one is, with all the multicolors, is the city's tax capacity rate. So the budget documents that were included in your council packet actually represents the 9.12% levy increase as of right now. Then we'll get more to the 7.5% as we go along. So the numbers, the value was received from the county. So we're looking at a 5.73% increase because our fiscal disparity amount actually went up, and then also the value. So if you look at our overall tax capacity rate, it goes down because the overall value, I had it at 1%, and then I had the value also went up. And as the values are going up slightly on the properties, that homestead credit decreases, so it actually is kind of a double hit because they actually put that in place last year where it had gone up to about $520,000. That was basically exempt, or that you could get up to help write down in your tax value. So the 9.12% represents a little over $2 million increase on the levy, or a 47.438. The 7.5% levy increase that's noted, that was kind of council's direction at the last meeting, was the 7.4 to 7.74 or 7. I wrote it down in it. And so this is what we're going to talk about also on how we get there. So that, we're looking at a 46.648. And again, the property values are subject to change just because the county can appeal the values. A lot of businesses have appealed their valuations from last year. So the next handout, so there's a little tiny one that looks like this, and then the big one that looks like this. This is the effect on the taxpayer. So the taxpayer is you. So all the council members from that are currently here at this table and for the past several years are included on this list. I keep them on just because there is other properties, but it's a good comparison from year to year. And so the first side is basically if we did the 9.12 levy percent increase, so it's up at the top.
Which page is one?
It's this one.
Which page? When you said this page.
Okay, the 9.12.
A or B?
It says across in the pink.
Oh,
no,
okay, there we are. So this is A. Yeah. This page A?
Yeah, so this represents where the budget is as of today, the documents that you have before you. So you'll note the item in blue is the median average market value of the home, according to the county, from 2025 to 2026. So the far right basically shows you the market value increase in relation to the city's tax increase as proposed. And again, this is just the city side. It is not the total taxes because I keep the county and the school district constant with 2025 because I have no idea what they're doing. So the other side is then what is the effect on a 7.5% levy. So you'll note, for example, if you look at the very first house, the house that's now valued at 197.3 at a 9.12% levy, the tax increase would be $44. If you go to the 7.5%, it's $37. And the little sheet is basically commercial properties. And if you note on the commercial sheet, Life Fitness, when I was talking about how the county has decreased values, if you look at Life Fitness was, when I did the valuation last year for 25, they had it at $24,198,900. The county decreased it to $18,222,000. So that's the same item, same format as the residential and the effect on the commercial with the two different rates of the 7.5 and the 9.12.
And the 2026 commercial value is now at 19 compared to 18,222,000. Is that, you said that's an estimate, or that's where you believe it's going to land?
This is the value that they have on the 26 proposed right
the
now.
County
the county.
Okay.
Yes.
So it could be they could ask for it to be reassessed, but as of now, that's where it stands.
This right now is where it stands, yes.
Okay.
These were just taken off the county website yesterday.
Okay.
So the other handouts are the attachments that you currently have in your agenda. I just thought it's easier to read when they're bigger. So, because I know this sheet is very busy. And it basically represents the far left. Now, this is, again, the budget that you have as part of your package, the 9.12% levy increase. So the items over in the far left, the items in the top left quadrant, those are the items that were removed up to the last meeting that you had seen. The items below it are the items that have been removed since that time and bring us to where we are today. The little box at the bottom represents then the different, how much you would have to reduce the levy from that 9.12 to get to these respective rates. So to get to the 7.5% that is proposed on these sheets is a $355,000 reduction, just to give you an idea of where the budget is today versus what we need to get to the 7.5%. The very far right is the items that are remaining in the budget. And again, the items in red represent if it's new personnel request or new capital request. And then I did kind of a brief summary below then on the capital equipment, because those items that were removed from the 26 budget, so that's the very top portion of that capital, those items are most likely that you're going to see as part of the 27 budget. And then the capital items listed below are just a summary of these red items up here, just summarized in a little box below the total capital that's remaining in the 26 budget.
Okay, so this sheet represents the 9.1.
Yes, the cuts that are listed over here on the left.
So if we stick to 7.5, we'll get the sheet again with more reductions.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that 350,000 or 355 or whatever amount it turns out to be.
Okay.
And so then, since the majority of the increase pertains to, so I don't know if council had an opportunity to look at the items that still are remaining in the budget or the ones that were cut as part of, to bring us here today. If they see anything that they wish that was not part of the budget, this is after now staff has weighed in on the items that they feel that they need to remain in the 26 budget.
Okay.
And so then, since the majority of the budget is related to personnel and to capital, that was why I also gave you the sheet so that they're easier to read and go along with. So I'm going to let Brian take the floor now in regards to the budget.
Yeah, so just kind of dive a little bit deeper into what, you know, we heard and we met as staff and kind of came back and saying, how can we get to the 7.5% target? That seemed like generally supported, or at least not much higher than that, if anything, by the majority of council. So we went through, we looked at the positions, and you know, we dropped out the seasonal building maintenance worker. We dropped out part-time parks and rec maintenance worker, as well as the, that was the recreation one. And then as far as the officer goes, we had an officer in there to be like an officer, investigator, some combo of that nature. We talked about, you know, how else could we accomplish more investigator labor hours. And so in dropping the officer, we're proposing to actually bring on a part-time just evidence tech role that could be a civilian role. So not a sworn officer. Ultimately, it's a lesser paid position, but as Chief Bowman and I were talking, we could fill the need in the evidence room. And then currently, the employee that's working in the evidence room and organizing all that, making sure we're meeting requirements, they're also an investigator, so we could shift their time away from the evidence room and into the investigator role. So that was, I think the officer as a whole was almost $170,000 financial cost. We were able to drop $107,000 from that and shifting that aspect. Just a PD office moves, $6,500, that went away because of, you know, with the extra investigator, we needed a space to have them work, so that wouldn't be needed. In looking at the, I'll come back to the fire engine. We did drop the reconfiguration of one of our one-ton vehicles into a hook truck. Still in there is to replace the chassis. It's just we go back to the, we don't want to create the bubble for capital equipment. You know, we talked a lot about that last time. So we're proposing to still replace the chassis. We've got a, you know, two or three trucks coming up in the future that, you know, should we hopefully still go to the hook truck reconfiguration. We have those opportunities coming in the next couple of years. We talked about keeping a plow truck for an additional backup. So unfortunately, we had to add $15,000 back into the levy impact just because we would miss out on the trade-in costs for that. Other funding sources, we'll jump to that. So for the fire engine that we're under contract for, we have another fund. It's called the HRA fund. Ultimately, that fund is getting annual revenue to it due to TIF 14 proceeds. So to say it quite simply, the court is finally working well enough where we're paying back some funds. And one of those funds is the HRA fund. It's one of the most flexible funds to pay back, so we're paying that one back earlier. And we don't have really anything budgeted against those funds in the future. So Diane and I were talking, you know, is that a reasonable fund to use? Probably not for just general operating costs, but with the capital equipment, we feel like that's a reasonable fund to account for the remaining amount for fire engine, as well as to get down to that 7.5% other capital equipment costs. The other item that we have is we could transfer in some additional road maintenance costs from the MSA fund of $40,000, and then capital equipment fund just has a general fund balance in it of $60,000, so we'll spend down a little bit of reserve that we have in that. So in essence, we found $400,000 of other funding sources that is still reasonable to use. To talk a little bit into that fund and the future projection of it, you want to share the numbers at least. You know, but in essence, when we project it out to 2040, when the 4 district will decertify, it's going to generate just over $1 million a year. And when you look at our 10-year CIP plan, our capital equipment is about $1.4, $1.5 million on average of replacement costs. So looking out into the future, we think that that fund is a viable funding source for at least a portion of our capital equipment costs.
So if I can expand on the whole thing. So that was why the special legislation was so important also, is that so we could pay ourselves back. And so I then now captured all our costs, and you will see an interfund resolution that we have to put in place then after I think it just was passed to accept the legislation.
Yeah, we have to do it by the end of the year.
And so you're going to see it up to $40 million because we have over $32 million into the project. And so when I did the numbers, I moved everything basically the same. TIF is paid back last because that is the most restrictive. So I've moved everything up in regards to it. And so right now, the HRA fund is going to be getting, and now these are strictly estimates, is about for 25, about 700,000 and 26, 700,000, a little over 800 in 27, and then it'll be over $1 million then for the next several years. And then by 37, it will be done. We'll have about 204,000 transferring in. And this is strictly based off of the cost that the city has put up in regards to like the rail stuff, all the roads, the parking ramp, all those sort of things. We're allowed to pay ourselves back now. And so that's where these numbers are coming from. And so as of today, or let me go through 20. Sorry.
Can we back up? We had found $400,000. Where did we find the $400,000 again?
Could you explain the payback to some of the...
Sure. So it wasn't basically found money. It was all part of the transfer of this TIF transfer. So it went to the respective funds. So back at the beginning of...
TIF transfer?
TIF 14. So back at the beginning of time, the city, as part of the TIF 14 development, put in a lot of the improvements. And so the request always was then to make sure that we can get reimbursed back for these costs. And that was why we were waiting to get that special legislation passed that just occurred at the end of May. And so that allows us to pay back our funds that have paid out. And so as tax increment comes in from 14, I will do a transfer each year. So this is kind of the summary. So I got a breakdown from Sean of what the projects are that are supposed to be coming in, the increment, and here's our notes that, like, the residents of the core are still being paid on that sort of thing to get to the net number down here. That is what then I took and I distributed out to pre-2010 costs and after 2010 costs, because our legislation went up to December of 2010, probably more than everybody cares about. But this is where all the funds have come from. So we've had about $33 million worth of improvements that have gone in this area. So I've been breaking it out to the respective funds to get paid back and see how long it takes. And it, right now, I'm not including parcels that do not have a sale or possible sale on. So there's still that can be generated. But as of right now, all through 2040, it basically is in the hole of 2.3, and that is not including, like, the big site by Casey's and another larger site. So when that comes in, that will generate a positive and pay off those other TIF 1 and TIF 2 that we'll be able to use towards road projects that are south of Alpine. So a lot, I'm throwing out a lot at you, but when you asked about where the funding came from, so when Brian, I always want to call you Patrick. When Brian had seen it, sorry.
I call him Patrick too.
Sorry. Yeah, like when Brian had mentioned about the equipment fund of the $60,000, that was some of the TIF money that has come back over then as part of that transfer for that year, for 25. So that was why that balance was remaining in there, that I could transfer to help out towards the equipment.
Okay, so it's very detailed. So the TIF 14 transfer, we found $400,000 of found money that's from the TIF 14 to use towards equipment. Is that the small version?
There's 300,000.
This makes it sound nefarious.
Yeah, it's found.
I don't like that word. It's money that the city spent out of other city funds that this TIF district now is able to pay back, because as increment is generating back, we're able to pay ourselves back for funds that we have expended.
Otherwise, the TIF funds have to stay in that little area for the TIF.
Yeah.
But now that literally didn't change, so we can take that money and pay back for things that we paid in that area.
And so of that $400,000, $300,000 is to come from the HRA fund, and this is just being proposed because of its council's direction, to pay for the fire truck for the second year payment, because that truck is already committed. Mm-hmm. And then the $60,000, was from the equipment fund, which was also from a transfer. And then $40,000 is actually from our MSA allocation that we do get from MSA.
Kirsten.
So we put out this money, it's coming back in, and we put out this money from other spaces within the city. Do those coffers need to be filled back up instead of us outputting it right away? Or were those replenished? Or it doesn't matter that they were replenished.
So when you're talking about the coffers, if you don't wish to pay yourselves back the money from tax increment, then you're sending all the money back to the county. And it'll have to be certified early.
So we've invested a portion of our money into the city, and now we can pay ourselves back. And we can use that money that we pay ourselves back to cover the gap.
And the funds that I'm putting it into are the funds that paid it out.
Okay.
So we loaned ourselves money, we can now pay ourselves back, and that can cover the difference, the $400,000 difference.
And we're going to front load a more flexible fund versus, like, a TIF 1 and TIF 2 fund is restrictive on how we can use it and where we can use it. We want to pay ourselves back ideally in time, but this HRA fund, if we pay that back first, it's far more flexible. So do that one first. We can spend that. We haven't budgeted against it, so it's city money available for city expenditures, and it's because of other obligations in the core district getting paid off, or some of the notes from the private development are coming to an end. That'll start to go up and up and up.
Okay, and then back to Kirsten's. We do not need to pay ourselves back. Where we are paying ourselves back.
We are. So the whole goal of TIF 101, big picture, is we want to invest money up front to spur development. we did that. We spent millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars. The idea then is that private development occurs, and through their annual taxes, you start to pay down the loan that you did to yourself. And we are there. So we're paying the developers per the agreements at the time. You know, maybe they got $1 million or something towards their private development, and the city put in $5 million of infrastructure work. We are paying ourselves back.
Okay.
So it's working.
Michael.
Thank you. You mentioned MSA funds, and you tied that with road stuff. Is that taking from road repair?
No, so MSA, it's municipal state aid, and we have to designate MSA roads, and then the state sends us money to do road maintenance projects. And we, you know, really, it's kind of the layman's terms of the really busy roads that are city responsibilities are the MSA roads.
Okay. How many F's is in the word TIF?
One.
Just one. Tax increment finance. Not to be confused with tax abatement.
Or tax evasion.
So, a little bow tie the staff.
to bow tie it up.
The staff did a really good job of finding
shouldn't be sitting down here at the
ways to bridge the gap.
Okay. And a long-term partial solution to help lessen the burden on the general tax levy. To call attention to a couple very specific items, though, we touched on the officer, delaying on that, but bringing on evidence tech person. One other change would be reconfiguring some other staff changes, and this is specific to our receptionist position. Sorry.
What page are we on?
Still kind of the summary, but
okay.
In general.
So which part of the summary are we? It's the far left.
It's in the left. Additional items removed after 7/22/2025. So about halfway down, it says possible staff changes.
Gotcha.
And it'd be almost $130,000 a year savings. We have one of our receptionists has turned in notice to retire. And in the last work session, we mentioned that when something like that occurs, staff does reevaluate the needs. And looking at it, historically, there's been a desire to have kind of the warm body rule in that location. Greet people as they're coming in, answer the phones. About a year, year and a half ago, we reconfigured our phone messaging and really are directing, you know, push one, two, et cetera, to reach a certain department. That's taken down a fair number of just general city calls. And then as far as walk-in work or walk-in communication with people, the vast majority of their role is really traffic directing for the DMV. People walk up to the DMV, they see it's, you know, an hour plus wait, they go back and ask, hey, can I get this done here? We don't have that answer. So, you know, a lot of that time is spent to help with DMV questions. The other aspects of their role is to they're booking City Hall room rentals. They're answering phones, like I said. They're doing some utility payments, albeit not a ton. They're helping order supplies, paper, postage, post-its, things like that, pens. They do daily deposits at the receptionist role, albeit that could be absorbed. And in a lot of these, all these tasks, we feel like as we've talked through it with other departments that we could spread those tasks out to other departments within the city and accomplish everything. The biggest item with it is we would eliminate that warm body as someone's walking in. We could add additional signage up to say, hey, if you need a building permit or you've got questions for your property zoning, you know, head down the hallway, go to community development. If you've got a utility bill question, go upstairs to finance, etc. Dan?
Thank you, I guess.
Yes, Dan.
Peter, whatever your name is now. How about early voting? Is that...
I'll touch on that quickly. We would, yes, that the receptionist roles help a lot with the early voting. We would propose just to bring in the election judges, bring them on and hire them for a couple extra days. It gets really busy the 2 to 3 weeks leading up to, but we feel like we can just bring in election judges to help with that. This past election cycle, we actually took those last 2 weeks and shifted everything down to the Alexander Ramsey room, just so there wasn't the congestion up there, and that was the main focus, and we would do that again. So, you know, we feel like we can accomplish all the duties of the receptionist with the exception of saying hi to someone as they walk in. But with signage, we have a phone there. If someone really needs to talk to someone, they can pick up a phone that automatically rings upstairs to multiple desks. So we do feel like we could help those people. The downside is we do have a part-time receptionist that ultimately that position would have to get eliminated. We racked our brain on what else could that person do for the city. You know, where's the value in that person? And it was, we couldn't come up with something, unfortunately. Not saying we don't have other needs in other positions, but as far as that person's skill set, there isn't a good match. So kind of looking for direction from council if you'd support that move. We would view this as a trial period. You know, it's not something that we don't want to commit permanently. We might find that it is missed and we can accomplish that in the next budget season. 2027, but we do think that it's a very viable option and would like to try it out for the next year.
And Colleen, could you talk a little bit about the perception of that desk when they're not being able to be helped by us because they're asking for something outside of our purview?
Yes, I've had many, many opportunities to listen to residents or customers that come up to the front desk. They look at the line of the license center, they get frustrated, they ask our staff, city staff, can I do X, Y, or Z? We say, you know, I'm sorry, we don't know, and we aren't able to answer that for you. They walk away frustrated. They don't want to hear, you don't know the answer, they don't want to hear, it's not your job. They just know that I asked you a question and you can't help me. And it's very frustrating.
So by eliminating the warm body, it might be better for Ramsey's image as well because we have less residents who are upset with what we can't do. And the only reason they're in that position is because there's somebody there. So eliminating that would also help with optics. Dan?
You could, if you want to, just tell the county this is our plan. If you want to have your own warm body there, you could use our space for no additional renting costs or something.
I think it's something that we could explore, but
if they want to, because I know they already wanted to pay less.
I do believe there were some conversations in the past about sharing the cost, and they were not receptive of that. But maybe that changes if there isn't someone there.
And that workspace is still available with it closed off. It's not the best workspace because there's no windows, but it would be a flex space for somebody to use too.
Yep.
Yes.
So it wouldn't go unused. It would actually be an asset.
Correct.
Would it stay closed then, or what do you else?
We would keep the panels closed, and our vision, potentially, if council approves, would be to have some high-quality signage, potentially even mounted to those panels.
Sure.
Narrow enough so that the doors could still go in if needed, but it would look such like when you go to your medical clinic and you say Associated Skincare and they're on the second floor, it would be something like that, and then the phone would be there
makes sense.
A desk. Again, like Brian said, pick it up. It rings up to admin. Many people can answer it. So, yes, the doors would stay closed, but it wouldn't look like a blank wall like it does now with after hours.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. That's a good cost savings.
Not so great news that we mentioned in the strategic plan there's some frustration with the building permit review software that we've been implementing. We tried moving forward with a plan that really from what we were paying 2 years ago, how it was set up to a new but better software, the cost was virtually equal. We've ran a course on a more financially reasonable option, and it's not working. What staff, if they're not able to replicate what we have today, albeit not a fantastic software, they're not able to replicate the quality things that we like from it with the proposed setup. The solution, unfortunately, is a for year one cost, an extra $85,000 to get this other plan markup tool to integrate with the missing the workflow management tool. That includes a $25,000 implementation fee. So moving forward, be about $60,000 extra from what we were planning. That has not been incorporated into this plan just because we've just found that out within the last couple days. Now for the good news, I guess, when we come forward with our rates and charges here in the next couple months, you'll see a proposal to increase some plan review costs and permit costs for building permits, and that's specific to the value-based permits. It's been a few years since we've reviewed those costs, so ultimately we do anticipate an increase in revenue, not solely to offset this increase in cost for the software, but wanted to share that with you. I think with the other funds available, we still can get down to the 7.5% target, but timing wise we weren't able to get this incorporated into this draft of the budget. I think that outlines everything that staff has worked on from the last meeting. I guess with that, are we happy? Are we satisfied? I shouldn't say happy. I think satisfied that has staff shown the need for what's remaining in the budget. It's been reviewed on our end probably very detailed 4 different times, and that's just as a group, with myself in the group, and then each department head has gone off and met with their key staff a couple times too. So we are happy to answer any other questions to further explain why a certain item or ask is in the budget. But largely speaking, I think we found a way, a reasonable way, and a long-term solution to get to the 7.5% this year and reduce general levy impact in the future.
So we'll take some questions or some comments. I just want to say I think 7.5% is reasonable with all the capital and capital expenses and personnel expenses. As our city grows, we'll never be ahead of the curve because we're always paying for a new development. Until the city stagnates, we're always going to have to, the increases are always going to come before they level out. So I think what was the original number that the staff brought to us?
First draft council saw was 12.5, I believe.
I believe, wasn't there a number before that?
You guys didn't see an 17.79%. Okay. First draft to council was 12.26.
17.79 was where they wanted to start. We gave them direction to keep it at the 7.5. I think they've done it, so I'm happy with that number. But I see Chris and Dan.
Chris? Well, and I guess there's an important part of this last step maybe that I've missed. So I know how you're getting down to 9.12. How are you getting down to 7.5?
They're covering the difference between the 9.1 and the 7.5 with the funds that they're moving from other funds. So, pay yourself back.
Yeah, over here, we already show the second payment of the fire engine replacement.
Yep.
From that core fund of $300,000. We would show another $440 for other equipment coming from that core fund.
Okay. That's so, the part that I missed.
Okay.
So I see how you're getting out of 9.12, and I'm like, nice start. I wanted to hear more.
So over here in the remaining capital in the 2026 budget, rather than 1.496 coming from general fund levy, that would be 1,060,000,
roughly.
And then the 440 coming from core funding. HRA.
And that's how you get to 7.5.
Yes.
Okay. So then you're still suggesting leaving in several new positions.
We are still suggesting to leave in I'll start with kind of the full-time positions of the city engineer that we talked about a few months ago, portion of their wages only hit the general fund levy. Others shared to the enterprise funds. The engineering tech, they're out in the field watching the construction work, make sure it gets done to plans, as well as they would help work on plans in the office. Right now we are contracting some of that work out to third-party consultants, so that contracted cost would go down. The building inspector, that's a net savings overall to bring that position in-house over the currently contracted role. We don't envision any slowdown of building permits. We still have in there a new firefighter position. Our fire calls are up around 25% this year over last year. Last year to the prior year, they were up about the same. This position would do more administrative tasks that a higher paid position is working on now. We do have in the change from a part-time to full-time police records tech. The big support behind that is the data practice requests that we're receiving, as well as some other law changes where we've just seen an increase in workload to those roles. And then we do have the part-time communication specialist still proposed to be in. That's non-benefit eligible. But as we work through doing the ADA compliance on our website, as well as all the other tasks that our communication person works on now, we feel like that person could come on, have most of their focus on social media. Our current communications person figures upwards of 20 hours a week or so is spent on just social media alone. And then the other benefit to bringing that on is we don't have an official date yet, but we know retirement is near for our current communications person, so there'd be a little bit of overlap training and succession planning to work on that. And then we still have the Parks and Rec maintenance worker. A lot of that's attributed to just existing responsibilities that we have that we ideally would be able to get to, but we haven't, as well as bringing on the waterfront park planned for July 1st of next year. And the added work just to maintain that throughout the usage season.
So it sounds like there are still new positions coming forward, but the council gave you direction to have flexibility on how you get to the 7.5%, and you did. So me personally going through and rehashing some of the line items after you met your obligation to get 7.5, I'm okay with those new positions. So that's just me. Chris, do you have a follow-up on that?
Well, I do, but I guess I very much appreciate what you just said.
Yeah,
absolutely. However, the biggest changes that we've done is we've taken assets that we were planning on replacing this year, and we've moved it out another year. That's essentially how we're meeting more than $1 million is taking assets that we were going to replace this year and moving them essentially to next year. So all we've done is moved the problem 1 year by potentially keeping all of the staff positions. Those continue to go up in the future, and everyone that starts mid-year, we are already building in an increase for the next year also. Mm-hmm. Like automatically we are. So that's kind of my problem, is it's more just moving dollar amounts from 1 year to another. But I really appreciate the fact that we did tell them how to get what we wanted to get to.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to start by definitely thanking. I mean, I know it's not easy. These are hard decisions, and I don't ever try to take it lightly that there's sacrifices and stuff that, is needed. So I appreciate the good work in bringing that down. Can you talk a little bit more, just so I understand again? I understand with the parks position that, 4 hours during those 10 months, would be the new water park that we're doing. So I appreciate that. What do you see? I know it talks a little bit about for the other time, or if it was 10 months, or however many months, it would, 90 days, whatever, 100 days, it would be open. What do you see that other time that position doing?
Well, I have a handout that details some of that, or all of that. There's three categories, basically. There's the new park and trail projects that are coming on, things like the restroom at the Hollow, new parks and trail spaces, and then also a significant increase in both our facility use, the public use of the buildings at Central Park and Elmcrest Park, just the sheer volume of activity there, and then also all the maintenance that goes along with that. And then the last category in that general category is the athletic field activity. All of that is increasing, and that is something that occurs from April right on through the end of the football season in late October. Significant increases there, just increases in Noga Ramsey Athletic Association numbers, and then also we've seen a significant impact in our athletic field maintenance by virtue of the PAC Charter School being essentially part of Central Park. So they use that every single day throughout their school year, in addition to the Athletic Association. And then also, we just simply can't attract seasonal workers in April all the way up into that first part of June. And like right now, many of our seasonal workers are dropping a couple a week to go back to college. So we have that April, May, early June period, and then part of August, all of September, into October, where we don't have seasonal workers, and we still have that athletic field demand. And then the last major category of demand is just the sheer numbers of residents we're getting. We took that deep dive a couple years ago when we looked at our 19 maintenance workers that we have, and every time historically that we have fallen below a certain threshold in those three major divisions of maintenance, utilities, streets, and parks, when we haven't had that certain numbers of bodies, that ratio to residents, we see a diminution in the quality of maintenance in all those categories, and we hear about it. And we're at that stage again now. And basically, that's one maintenance worker for every 1,445 residents.
Call questions?
Go ahead,
Kirsten.
I want to talk about what you said, Ryan. I think that they did their job. You guys did a really good job of getting to where we asked you to, and that we were to kind of allow you to navigate and have discretion on what that looked like. So, and obviously going into this, I was fine with all those staff positions and pieces of equipment that you guys had requested already. Anyways, I think you guys had already shared why you needed those and gave us good reason. I kind of want to flip what Chris said around and say, if we don't add staff, it would just be kicking the can down the road. We would need them again next year. So it's the same thing. So whether it's equipment or staff, whatever we're not getting this year, we're going to need next year. We're going to need in the following year. So we kind of just got to make a decision on what we need most. Important man. Oh my gosh. And then this is kind of going back a little bit, and I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it since everyone else seemed fine with it, but I'm not okay with us getting rid of someone's position, that part-time front desk worker. I'm not okay with that. And I'm not okay with us not having someone staffing that desk, because I think the optics of someone not doing work for the county is just as bad as the optics of someone walking in the building and not having someone to greet them, especially our elder community. They're not going to be wanting to look at signs, to use technology potentially. I'm not trying to put everyone in a box, but like that is, I think customer service is incredibly important in this kind of work, and I think it's comforting to know that you have someone to go to at the front desk to like ask a question, whether or not they have that answer. So but if that's how we're going to get to this number, or just an idea of what we can do to save some money and everyone else is on board, like I said, I won't make a big deal of it, but I'm just not comfortable with that.
I'll touch on that a little bit. We still have a front desk. It's just down this hallway versus right at the entrance, too. So we still have a presence on the main floor, so that's important. But I do think I appreciate Chris's point about kicking the can down the road. I will also say, at least for next year, I believe we will still have a council, and I believe we've kind of set maybe a threshold of what we're looking at. So I think you'll be back on the city staff to assume that next year the numbers may be very similar. So although we're going to be seeing these things come up again, my guess is the following budget cycle they'll have a good idea of where we're going to be at. So they'll be thinking strategically for next year based on the decisions we make this year. So I do think it's important capital will continue to catch up on us. But also maybe we've been evaluating how we see our capital expenses. You know, as we stated, some of these trucks are 8 years old, but they have a 2 for maintenance, which means they don't need a lot of maintenance. So maybe we've had a false perception of how long they can last. And maybe that bubble isn't necessarily as ominous as it may appear. Other comments? Yes, go ahead.
In regards to the capital. So when I was going on about the whole thing in regards to the TIF payback and to the HRA, so that was why we had looked at this account in regards to just using it towards capital, not towards operation. So the estimate in that fund then at the end of 26 is about, now prior to anything in regards to discussion tonight, about $2.2 million. If we took to pay the fire truck and then that $440,000, we're at a balance of about $1.5 million at the end of the year. That would apply towards next year's capital, or 27 capital. We do have $600,000 that has to go towards the third payment of the fire truck, but that we also then keep continuing getting the TIF reimbursement back then also for 27, that sort of thing.
So as we deplete the fund, we're now able to draw from it. So as that fund goes back up, we can use that for future capital.
Yes.
So we will have a new funding source that we didn't have last year to pay for additional capital in the future.
It will be this fund, because each year until 2037, there's going to be an annual transfer from TIF into the HRA fund. And starting in 28, it's going to be over $1 million.
So the bubble could be suppressed by the newfound fund that allows us to transfer over.
It's not a new fund. It's
right.
A fund that's being
but
reimbursed.
Not
yes.
Newfound fund, but the newfound ability to pay back from that fund.
Yes, and that was the purpose of doing this cash flow, and then that was why we had proposed then covering the capital with this and then using it towards possible future capital, because maintenance should not be coming from.
But previous years, that bubble was growing. Now with the ability to transfer from that fund, we can start attacking that bubble going forward.
And when you're talking about previous years, there wasn't much being transferred in. It's basically the years coming forward because we're allowed to pay ourselves back for the expenses that we could not capture prior to the legislative change.
So next year, as these capital equipment, the next few years as this bubble begins to grow, we can start paying it down using a fund that we couldn't do in the past. So we have a new tool that we haven't had in previous years to address the bubble. Okay. Jana.
So in the future, can we get this bubbles that we're talking about, these numbers, somewhere on a sheet of paper? So that way, when we're looking at, hey, we've got TIF money here, we've got this over here, and make it more third grade-ish, you know, obviously. But I would like to see... this. I don't see this. I mean, you, 1 minute you're saying 400,000, the next minute you're saying 70,000, a million, now you're saying 2.2 million. I'm like, you're so many numbers. I would like to see this positive numbers that we have to draw from.
And I have all the cash flows, but I think for purposes of tonight, it was just kind of get the, if council was comfortable in even using this fund, more so than going out into the future and talking about the cash flows as a whole. Because I do have them on TIF 14. I just finished doing this. This was a long process in regards to the budget also. So I just got done 2 days ago in regards to putting all these together on the cash flows. So I think as part of the next meeting, I can attach all the cash flows and you can see all the different numbers that come into play. But I thought it was too much for tonight.
Yeah. And Shanna, when I started on the council and we had the whole road funding thing, it was a lot, and there's a lot of funds that I was not aware of. I made an appointment with Ms. Lund, she went over everything with me. So I think we can have that in the future. We can have more transparency with what that looks like. Not that there was unintentional transparency, but it is information overload. But I think also it was helpful for me to sit down and say, what funds do we have and where can they go? So maybe outside of the work session, we could do that individually as well. Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the only thing I'll say, I appreciate how the task we gave you, and that's how it, you know, how it worked out. I'm still not a huge fan of the part-time communication specialist, but understanding that, you know, there might be a retirement in the near future, potentially, possibly, of our current one, and this might be a mentorship type of situation. You know, I definitely wouldn't support to backfill a part-time if it turns out that the full-time, you know, communication person retires. I think it's a one-person position. We went from half-time when I started to now full-time, and I think it's, you know, handled fine. I don't think we need one full-time just to do social media, a couple posts a day. So I understand the process, and I understand, you know, we said cut things, and you did. So, just for future, that's my, you know, one member's opinion.
Chris?
So with our, although we keep saying the word newfound money, had we known this?
newly allocated option.
Right. This newly allocated option, had we known that that was out there and available, mm-hmm. would we have decided 7.5 was the right number?
Yes. I don't know.
I can.
I was like, yes, you would have said
no. No, what I would say is, I guess, if you're asking, can we cut more? Yes. But from a staff perspective, I don't know. I mean, department heads, feel free. I mean, how many times did I ask questions? I mean, I was asking questions on very specific items. I don't think that staff could bring forward a list and in good faith say it's a good idea to cut more and more. I think if you guys said absolutely cut more, we would. But from a true budget proposal to move the city forward, to match our growth, to replace equipment that is needed to be replaced, to add staff strategically in ways, again, I'll point out, to eliminate an officer role, recognize that if we shift the person in evidence over to investigator, that gains us halftime roughly of investigator role, but backfill with evidence. I don't know that we could, in good faith, come forward with a list that is much different than this if the target was lower.
I think there's a point where we have to say we have to stop adding new people and new positions, but I think that happens when the city stops growing. Because to stop adding officers and firefighters, not that those are the only two areas. Obviously, there's areas that are not that hyperbolic, because I don't want to put you in a box and say you're trying to cut fire and police, because it's not what you're saying. But I think there is a point in time where we have to stop. But as the city continues to grow and as we continue to add 1,000 residents, we do have to fill that need. So I would say yes, at some point it does. I've been here for a while now, not consistent with the gap. Seems like there's always a new position being hired, and it's like, why do we always need new people? Sometimes it's just because the city is growing and we need to fulfill those services. So I don't know if 7.5 would have been the number. I know that, as you could tell from the last meeting, I was pretty upset when we were meeting with another vendor who gave us a number and then changed it on us. Sometimes I think we said, this is the number, use your expertise and your resources to figure it out. They figured it out. And I think you brought up a really good point about the capital. But then I think you have to, when new information comes, you have to absorb that and readjust. And if we have a new fund, not a new fund, we have a new way to spend allocated funds that we didn't have previous years, then I think that may address the bubble situation. It's my own personal opinion, but Jana.
So, yeah, thank you for answering, like, a bajillion of my questions and all that fun stuff. Obviously, this is just a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of numbers. But back to Chris's point, can we, as staff, or can we look at only doing 3/4 of these staff, or however this looks like in money or something? Do we have to have everyone as a new staff? Can we only do 3/4 instead of the whole 100% of all this? Is there a couple that we can get rid of?
I don't want to speak for staff, and I want you to take that question, but we already have reduced those positions, so it's not like we haven't reduced from the requested new positions up until this point. So could we do even more now? I'm sure there's a way, but I don't want the notion to be that we haven't made any cuts to new employees up at this point. What's in front of us right now is them removing positions they asked for already. I don't know.
Yeah, to speak a little bit more to each specific position, the part-time communication specialist, that is probably the one that is truly new, that council hasn't really seen some aspect of it yet. But again, our communications role has grown over the last 4 years in a good way, and we think that there's ways that it can continue to grow and other obligations that we have to meet. The website, to make it ADA compliant, with everything else Pat is doing in her role, she laid out just about a year time frame to work with each department or division to correct web pages. And then with the new redesign, that's another 4-month process to redesign the website to just simplify it down. The 1 year is just to make it ADA compliant. That is not providing us a well-functioning website that's easy to navigate. The part-time to full-time police records tech, for the 2025 budget, that first proposal was a full-time position to meet the desire of to get a budget passed, on a better term, last year. That role was reduced down to part-time. So we already reduced it back to what we felt like was needed for this year already. And as we've had body cameras longer, we're truly seeing the increase in data requests associated with those alone. The drone, we didn't really address that earlier, but that's been on for a number of years. Chief Bummel has indicated we have several different reasons that we can use it. We do borrow from other agencies quite a bit, most recently being St. Francis just within the last month. We do have an opportunity to acquire one for free that I did want to get to tonight, so we'll jump on that right now. It's from a sheriff's department. It would provide a free drone. We'd have to purchase an iPad, I believe, just to get it to operate, but that would be a very cost-effective way to practice and not have officers practice with a brand new one and potentially crash it. But again, that's been a tool in the toolbox that's been requested for a number of years. The building inspector, we're paying more than that right now annually in contracted costs, and we're not getting 40 hours a week throughout the whole year. So we're actually able to increase labor hours to us for a smaller annual cost. We used to have a sole city engineer and then a public works superintendent back in 2022. Superintendent retired, and we combined the city engineer and public works superintendent into a public works director role. And since that time, we've substantially increased road funding to address aging infrastructure. That does not account for the new infrastructure that's coming into town. That's directly tied to the full-time engineering tech. If we don't have the staff in-house to do the work, we're going to contract it out because we have to. One example is a project as simple as filling cracks with the black rubber material. When we're not watching that work, we had a contractor 1 year just put it on a really good road. So sadly, we have to watch simple tasks that we hire out with staff. And when we contract it out, it's far more expensive. The firefighter role, I think I did jump over that. I mean, that's a large part just directly attributed to the number of calls that are increasing. Yes, we still have great success with paid on call, but we're having to run a duty crew, so really it's dedicated work hours by our paid on call. We do have a large daytime call volume. Our full-time staff, they're not just waiting for the pager to go off. They're doing other work, like preparing training materials, training schedules, doing maintenance on the vehicles or scheduling maintenance, making sure all that's taken care of. And then the parks and rec maintenance worker, we touched on that, but you know, our parks and trail system is aging in some aspects as well as growing in other aspects. So, I would say outside of the communication specialist, which again, I'll stand behind and I think it's a very well-justified request for that position. All of these, I think council has seen in some fashion or another for a couple years.
Crystal.
And then just to add for the firefighter position, take this in any way you want to, but Anoka was also hiring one just recently, and they had the salary significantly higher. So I think staff is doing their best to make sure that these salaries are, you know, reasonable with what the tasks that they're requesting for this staff member to do.
Do we know off the top of our head what the last, like, 3 years increase was
for fire calls?
No, just period, which is our levy.
I'd say 22 was I'm going to get them out of line, but it was like a 15, an 18, a 12, and an 8 the last 4 years.
Yeah. 7.5 is trending in the right direction.
That was last year, but I don't remember. Were we 12 the year before that or 15? And then there was a high one in there.
Yeah, the last three.
Dan should know. He got yelled at enough about it.
Well, the payment management was a big portion of the large one.
And I guess it would come down to if you wanted to decrease the levy amount, is then do you cover more of the capital by the fund?
We can update that cash flow, bring it forward to the next meeting, and show, you know, if we take the 400 and some thousand, what would the remaining balance be? We have a $3 million ladder truck coming by 2030. That fund should be able to pay for that, plus some of the other capital. We can project out some of those costs and still stay on the conservative side. Again, to reiterate, the cash flow doesn't reflect vacant land that is in the core that doesn't have a project proposed or at least serious talks going on. So there's 15-ish acres behind Casey's that doesn't get reflected in those cash flows. There's probably another 10 acres over here. We have no reason to believe that that's going to stay vacant until 2040. We think that it'll go soon, but we also don't want to overpromise on a cash flow and have it not happen.
Other questions, discussion, suggestions? Well, we should give some direction to the city staff. Anybody who's not happy with this number, do you have some suggestions or recommendations? Chris?
I would suggest a couple positions need to be removed.
Okay.
And if there's additional that can come down because of funds, I would look for that too.
Okay. So I think we're looking pretty good, but if we could just further examine with the department heads maybe what that would look like for positions.
I'm confident I have asked that question to department heads, so I guess I would look to council and say, is there a position very specifically that you'd like to see gone? Or more information on why it's still in there.
Okay. The question has been proposed. While anyone who's interested is looking, I guess the only other direction from what I'm hearing is maybe some more information on the next meeting of what funds would be available and what that would look like spending it down more and how it would impact future
purchases.
Chris, any other specific positions?
The ones I've identified, number one, communication specialist.
Okay.
I'll say number two, communication specialist. Firefighter, I guess I want to, I'm not sure I've heard if we have our full complement of people working, because we have people that aren't working full-time. I'm not sure that there's still the need. I understand there's a need right now of hours, but I guess I don't know the big picture there's a need. Park maintenance, I'm still concerned about that one.
Those are the two that I'm looking at big time is
communication and parks.
And the parks. I definitely don't. I think my police and the fire, or the city's police and fire, I think I'm on board with those ones. The other ones, the other ones I'm not sure about.
Dan, you had some concerns. Are you good? Or?
Well, those are the same two that I can understand it, but you know, I don't. I still struggle a lot with the communications, especially.
Michael, anything else?
No.
Okay. Colleen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. So I'm hearing over and over and over that there's concerns with the part-time communication specialist. I have draft notes that I'd be happy to formalize as a handout next time so that you can truly understand what this one individual does. And the need. We've touched on it briefly. I can assure you there is a need, but I'd like to give it to you in paper form.
Okay.
And so I'll be prepared to do that next time.
Okay. Do we know last year, did we bring on any additional fire?
This year we did do a fire inspector.
Okay. But we had a 25% increase in call for service last year and a 25% increase call for service this year.
Correct.
So we're up 50% in 2 years.
And the fire inspector role was to help with the fire marshal. We were not able to quite get all of the annual inspections done that we ideally should be. So we were. That was really just a catch-up to meet the obligations that we had.
And the calls for service, a fire inspector would not be going to that call?
They do.
They do? Yep. Okay.
Our fire chief goes to them if needed. I mean, okay. It's all of our full times are responding to the 911 call.
Okay. Chief.
Thanks, Mayor. If it's okay, I'd like to speak about that just a little bit with Chief Corner being unable to be here. If we didn't have the duty crewers working for us, I would be asking for more officers. So that is super helpful for us in police and having that duty crew.
Okay, just medical primarily?
Crashes.
Sure. Colleen?
Can I just add, with regard to the firefighter / fire technician, years ago we had a part-time fire technician that did not also act as a firefighter. She was purely clerical. And the hourly wage is very close. So what we would be paying just a clerical person hourly is so close to what this position earns. Currently, we have much higher paid employees performing those clerical tasks, so it would be a better use of resources to shift them to this new position, and then this position, of course, is on call, or is there, ready to respond and go, which it's not my area of expertise, but if they get a call and only three people need to go and not five, I can only imagine they're going to be choosing this new lower paid person to go versus the fire chief.
Sure.
So it's a good use of resources.
Okay, so for next steps, maybe some more information on the duty crews and how that affects calls for service in general, maybe justifying that position. Mark, if you have anything additional, you did provide us a handout here on the seasonal maintenance worker. So thank you for doing that. If there's anything additional you want to add, bring that forward to the next one. And then, Colleen, you'll have some information on the communications.
Yes.
And then, Diane, you'll have some information on the funds and additional ways we could pay down some of the capital expenses. Does that sound like you're... Oh, Dan?
You can finish that. I just... About that.
That would be what we have right now for direction. Otherwise, I think it looks good, pending some further discussion on those points. Dan?
The only thing, this is... just
suggestion, because I read watched a video about it. You'd be surprised ChatGPT-5 really can help with like websites and stuff too. Just for fun, I put our website, city website, in and said, can you help me make an ADA compliant based upon the Minnesota state law? And it actually, and I can't validate the effectiveness of the code, but it even has like lines of HTML code and stuff of what it would change or how it would reformat or change the table. So it might be a tool, not that it doesn't affect the position either way, it might be a tool worth looking into.
Thank you.
All right. Is that enough direction for this session?
I think so.
Oh, we got about 10 minutes, Kirsten.
Did we want to approve of requests for new capital, like the drone, so they can move forward with that?
I think that would be on the...
The free drone?
So, yeah, the free drone. I mean, ultimately, if it's... Council, if that's not an item that is getting attention, we could move forward and bring forward a resolution to accept the donated drone and associated purchase of equipment to make it operational.
Okay, so good on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta bring that forward separate. All right. Good for now. We got 10 minutes left, so let's hit up the water play development. The water play development at the waterfront progress report. How long do you think this will take?
How fast?
I can go fast. If we need to return, we can.
Okay. We have a very short session today, so if we need to return, we can. But if we can knock it out, we'll do that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to actually present or introduce part of this case kind of backwards in time, so don't get startled. I'm okay. 259 years and 10 months ago,
just make it real quick.
Declaration. I'll go faster, Brian. Signed, and of course, here's those good folks, Thomas Jefferson, others in work session. And so, on July 4th next year is the nation's 250th birthday, and that seems like a pretty good time for a water play opening.
Yeah,
this project really is Americana, apple pie, Norman Rockwell, all that kind of stuff. Here's our work plan for the next 10 months. So the essence of this case is we're going to keep our foot on the gas unless you tell us not to. So we'll get to what some of that means. Some of the breakthroughs, we're identifying how we can actually do this in phases. Basically, it just means if we keep a 40-50-foot buffer between our future building and our water play area, we can get it done. That includes the solution of a prefab restroom, which is shown in the little box off to the side. It's going to work out great. That also is subtracting some of the things in our community building, which will bring down that $20-25 million cost when we get to talk about that project. For tonight, we're asking for consensus to move ahead and get quotes, and this fall install a sewer and water to support this building and the larger project. We think it's the right thing to do. Here's kind of earlier in our schematic design process. Things are coming together really well. Everything is working out great. We thought we might be able to get four pavilions in there. Three are only going to work because of the grade, and also the proximity to that restroom just isn't really good. So our project elements include catenary lights, these beautiful natural stones, some of which can have fountains emanating from them. There'll also be seating areas. We will have down in this zone LED lighted fountains. They can be choreographed. They can have different colors. Red, white, and blue is an example. We'll have a fair amount of furniture with that. Bistro type tables that we move around, picnic tables, a lot of shade structures, a lot of picnic area. This is going to be a very popular site, and it's going to function well beyond our water play. This is really going to be a plaza. It's going to be a destination. We've looked at the capacity here. We can serve over 1,000 people in this area. It's significant. As stated, we'll have three pavilions, and then I also hope that we have a fire table or some of these fire features here. This is what it'll look like. This is basically the view from the top or the second story of what might be our future community center, looking over this site. Different zones in here, I think well thought out. This area, as an example, has seating. Of the five different areas with the bubblers, sprays, and fountains, they'll be different, each one of them. Each one of them actuated by a foot pedal. So the children will turn them on, they'll run for a set amount of time, and then have different functions. And then, so in other words, the water isn't running if no one's playing there. Different areas. You'll see a lot of spaces in the larger view from picnic areas. All of our landscape area is going to be contained. A lot of seat walls. So as a parent or grandparent, we can choose shade, we can choose sun, and keep an eye on our kids. And then I'll show in a minute kind of how it flows a little bit. Moving fast here. So I'll zoom in on some of these picnic areas. And so for the larger 16-acre park, 7.4 acres of it is water. This is a really neat park. We got four primary dimensions of recreation. Certainly the trail is there, the shoreside exploration. There's been a lot of bird watchers out there, you probably noticed, and people walking our water play area, and also surface water recreation, basically fishing and paddling. This is an exhibit that I sent to my colleagues at the DNR, and they have committed to providing us a fishing pier in 2026. Yep. That would be about $50,000 value. It would look something like this. They also have committed to providing us fish. This little girl, this is an image from Sunfish Lake Park. Before the fish froze out in Sunfish Lake, there was children there, you've probably all seen them, from dawn to dusk, fishing. You would see them riding down our trails with bicycles. They're all day putting fish in buckets, measuring them, letting them go. Very popular. So fishing for children, but fishing for adults and all the other people that may not be at the water play area. We're going to bring it all together. And then down here, I also hope that we, with the next subsequent phase, as soon as 2026, to create a little marina, have paddle boards and kayaks like we do at Sunfish Lake Park. We have over 2,000 people that have that proximity cards that take advantage of that free canoes and kayaks. And why not a swan boat? It might even look like a loon, maybe a pair of loon boats. So we could have loon races out there. So another recreational dimension. So here's a twilight view of the same space. So in terms of flow, we have this concrete walk that surrounds it so that we can move around this space without getting wet. The central area with these different zones of fountains, and then the water emanates from here, another water feature, and then it all flows. So everything gravity flows towards the stream and then goes here underneath this walk and then exits out here to a little water feature, kind of a waterfall that will provide some sound aesthetic, a little mitigation to some of the traffic noise that will be on the periphery, and then ripples will move out through our four bay area. We'll have a little bistro seating here, so these little coves. So this place will be popular not just for water play, but we'll see people grabbing their coffee, meeting their friends and neighbors, having meetings out in this space. So a lot of programming over and above the water play area. Here's an example of our little fire table, fire pit. So landscape areas and a lot of these areas off to the side. So this case basically is asking for council acknowledgement that we're going to keep our foot on the gas, and that also includes the prefab restroom that we'll need to order. It'll be on a subsequent city council agenda, about $274,000. And then also the sewer and water, which we're estimating at about $132,000. And then also we'd like acknowledgement that we want to put a job site board out on the site, three-sided. One would be the coming soon that would identify our water play so residents understand exactly what's coming to them, providing to them. And then also another panel that talks about the surface water recreation, fishing, paddling, so forth. And the third side would be what we're contemplating, that is the community building and what that could entail. It would include costs and also a notation that it is not funded, but it is a potential future project.
Thoughts?
Yeah,
Chris,
I mean, preliminarily, are you feeling like you're staying on budget, what we were talking about before?
Remarkably, we are. We had said that we think that this is going to cost about $3 million. We didn't know what the solution was for the restroom. I had said that if we're going with prefab, it is going to be at least a half million dollars. our cost estimates now are about $3.6 million. So we're right there, and we're finishing up the schematic design phase, and then the next step will be doing some of those cost estimates. So I anticipate that we'll be coming back each month with reports and progress reports and the status and minor decisions for the Park and Recreation Commission, and then regular reports to City Council, including the building and the water and sewer main, which will be on for subsequent agendas.
Funding comes from the parks?
All of it will come from the Park Trust Fund, including the consulting services.
Which is already funded.
We have cash available today for that.
In excess of $7 million today.
Looks good.
Are we happy to move forward with ordering a bathroom and some water and sewer line work before bidding the full project?
Right now.
Yes. Okay. Mark, thank you so much for putting that together. I feel bad that we didn't have more time to touch on it after all your hard work, but it looks great. All right.
You want to regroup for like 10 minutes afterwards?
Yep. So read topics of future discussion on your own, and then we're going to move to adjournment. We're adjourned.